Blog Talk Radio.
The following is suitable for all audiences. So please, don't just listen. Tell your friends, tell your relatives, tell your family, tell your acquaintance, tell your neighbors, tell strangers, even those creepy ones at the park who seem a little suspicious and a little too close to the playground. Hey, I'll tell you, Adam Heath, this is for general audiences. Tell everybody. Yeah, this is a safe enough show. Good people, you're listening to Cocoon in the Microphone with DJ Butterfly Feces. It is 9 o'clock on the dot. And, okay, now I have to do our shameless plug. Now, Maya Harrison, she's got a whole organization called Planet Nine. And they sell everything. Wine, music, shirts, hoodies, and sweatshirts, among other things. Good people, check her out online on her website and buy a little bit of corporate commercial media merchandising. Why? Well, dude, come on. Ever since free musical downloading came along, these recording artists, they need something to survive and get by on. It's DJ Butterfly Feces here. And again, well, remember our last episode? Okay, I'll tell you what. Let me try to basically give you a brief summary from the beginning, okay? I lived in McKinleyville all my life and barely scraped by. Barely. I'm not even sure how I got by. Anywho, what happened was I was living in McKinleyville. I was in my parents' home. I couldn't get a job because none were available. I wasn't just not barely getting by. I was sitting by and the world was passing. Now, listen, I didn't have the money to go to college. No, people tell you, go to college, see college. You remember a time when college was really the answer? When college and a skill was enough to, boy, inflation really happened. Man, the world had changed. Everybody was going that way. Anywho, me and my parents had a big falling out, and they threw me out. But also kind of ran out to my own free will. We both couldn't take enough of each other. Isn't that always the way? The time you really basically decide to really leave your parents' home is when you just can't take it anymore. It's not just that they give you a kick out of the nest. It's that you kind of want to fly, and unlike most birds, you don't want a home. McKinleyville. I didn't want to leave. McKinleyville had everything. I mean, really, everything. And I did everything in McKinleyville. What happened was, one night, after officially becoming one of the homeless, I basically found myself literally out in the woods, hanging out with a bunch of people who are truly homeless, veteran vagrants, veteran vagabonds. Now, that's a phrase. Try that. Veteran vagabonds. Anywho, what happened was I sat down with them as they were sitting around cooking outdoors. I looked at these guys basically as I looked at the homeless vagabonds, as I prefer to call them, as full-time campers. They cooked their food outdoors, they ate outdoors, and they lived outdoors. A lot of them had tents, whatever. Anywho, the big guy, the biggest guy possible, like this guy was like 6'7". And I think if you measured him sideways, he was even taller. He was a big guy. Honestly, hulking guy. Called himself OK. Organic OK. Now, he told me about this whole mission, this whole plan, this mastermind, Machiavellian scheme he had to save the entire world. And it started with helping the homeless, the people who've been cast essentially adrift, who were thrown out like so much garbage. And he dubbed me. He wanted me personally to be part of his personal mantra mission. So after sharing some of his food with me, shaking my hand, telling me his story, and according to him, he had money. But he was going around doing this to help those who needed help. He said his name was Organic OK. And he got me to get down on one knee. He got me down on my knees. I was a little concerned. But actually, he touched me to the shoulder and said he dubbed me DJ Butterfly Feces. Now, let me explain what that means. Now, we all know the story of the cocoon, the little caterpillar who goes into that little workshop, that little hidey hole, and toils and suffers and whatever to fully emerge as a butterfly. We all know that. We know that one. How can we not? How can we not? Anywho, I kid you not, many of us don't realize, but every single living creature of all kind leaves droppings behind. Now, he said, now tell me, did you actually consider, did you consider what the butterfly left behind, what the butterfly drops behind itself? People don't think, people think that that dropping don't do nothing, but it does. It feeds the earth. It's a connection to everything. That the butterfly feces, that very thing causes true greatness to grow from it. It's a fertilizer, like actual manure. People don't realize, but that stuff doesn't just feed insects and cause it to spread and fester and be dirty and all that. It's keeping a lot of the world going. I won't dub you that. I'll give you a moniker. I have a name. No, man, don't use your real name. That's your old name. This is your free name, DJ Butterfly Feces. That's your messenger name. You're the prophet. DJ Butterfly Feces. Well, honest to God, I just gave him a weird look. I mean, I know no one likes anything that's supposed to be really, like, strange like that off the cuff, but Butterfly Feces. Basically, what he told me was he was going on this world trip, this world tour to rescue the world, to save the world, and he wanted me to join him and his buddies, help him do it. And you know what? I was on the street now. What's that better to do? I should stay with these guys. Maybe it's a lack of need, but what was I going to do? Just, like, nothing? He was talking about, he basically told me how he was well off financially, and he was going all around the world trying to help people. I smelled some droppings myself right there, cow droppings. But I thought, well, what have I got to lose, you know? I want to help the world. What if it's a trap? What if these guys want? What if these guys don't want what they say they want? What if they're pulling something? What if I'm being set up? What if they're? But of course, what were my options? So you know what? I agreed. And I sat there and I ate a little bit of the food they gave me and I talked with them. I told them my story about how great McKinleyville was and they agreed. We stayed up almost the whole night, and then they invited me in to sleep with them in one of their tents, and it was very uncomfortable. I got to tell you, the first time as a vagrant, you're sleeping on the street. It's one of the hardest, dude. I mean, doesn't hit you. That's not to hit you that you're really, truly homeless. In the back of your mind, you're still in denial, like maybe, just maybe. No. My parents come to their senses. I'll get off the street. My head was just spinning. Sorry about that pause there, but I wanted to let all that sink in, you know. Anywho, what happened was the very next morning, he led me down the road, and we got into his trailer and the line of cars. He had a trailer. He had a big trailer and basically had a whole bunch of decorative stuff on it, you know, like a really trashy home that basically, you know how white trash like to decorate with their beat-up houses with a lot of kitschy ornaments, really decorative, really tacky, but colorful in a garish kind of way. A broke person who buys a lot of cheap accessories to hang themselves, whatever. Really, really gaudy. And there was a bunch of beat-up cars before them, and they all got in their vehicles, and they drove off. And I thought, well, maybe this guy isn't homeless. Maybe he's got some degree of money after all. I spotted the Rolex on his wrist. I still don't know if it was real. They were in the car. We drove on up. You know, we wound up eventually on the other side of the country in Miami, Florida. I got to visit all the beaches the whole time we were down there. And you know something? We were down there for days. I thought we were going to stay there, but he said, this is part of our tour. Go out there and hustle. I went on there, and I got to do a lot of this stuff. I mean, let me tell you something. I made friends down there. You know what we did? A lot of the homeless people, they especially, they do everything in communal clusters. They share their everything. You know what? We boogie boarded, we surfed, did some wind sailing and whatever, and picked some trash up along the street. But a lot of them were camping out there on that beach, which is what we did too. And you know what? I went over there and spread the message there also, all over, and not just to the homeless, to everybody, telling them about this journey, this mission. Got a lot of people who were basically shook their heads and were skeptical and thought the story was as fishy as I did when I first heard it. It takes a while for... Sometimes it takes a, trends are one thing, you know, because here's the thing about trends, you know. whatever people usually embrace trends for a whole decade, you know. And whatever trend was really popular that one decade, the very next decade they're going to do the exact opposite. No matter what it is, they're just going to go in the opposite direction, you know. Now, trends are one thing, but a real mission that's about saving the world and helping people being rational and work together, that's going to take a lot longer to catch on. Man, it was not easy. I got to tell you something, man. I went to those homeless shelters and I told them about it. No, I didn't tell them they didn't have to leave those shelters, but spread the good word. What mission is about? What Butterfly Feces was about? Don't just focus on toeing the line. Make this thing better. Connect. We all need to be part of the chain, even the people who are basically indoors. We stay there for, well, I got to tell you something. There's something about those Miami beaches. Now, I spent time in McKinley had its own beach, and I basically did climbing up on that rock terrain, whatever, but Miami was different, you know? It was different. It was different. Just as I was getting my roots and bearings, then basically, okay, grabbed me by the arm and said, okay, now it's time to go. I'll tell you something. I met a little beach bum bunny out there. I thought we could get cozy, you know. We could share a tent. But he said, no, 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 man. Shouldn't have done that earlier. Should have done that right away. We're done. Get in the car. Lo and behold, then we drove off. We drove off to Seattle. Now, once again, we didn't stop for anything. And I got to tell you something. I know Seattle's got its good points, but let me clarify this. All this happened in early January. You hear about how rainy it is in Seattle. Imagine the snowiness, dude. Snowy in Seattle. And you know what? For a moment, I was grateful for global warming. But it was still cold, cold, like if you know what froze over in the global warming ain't that strong. Man, it was freezing out there. I asked some people why they didn't migrate south for the winter like birds. And they told me that they loved so much of the majesty of what Seattle was about, they didn't want to leave. Dang. And I stayed there for a while, too. Let me tell you something. I kept spreading the same message, got a lot of the same confused reactions. A lot of people were like, oh, come on. And it was understandable. Because I told you something, getting everyone to work together some total cause was basically, okay, people, let me tell you all something. Nothing is for everybody, okay? Nobody is going to like anything. That's what they mean when they say you can't please everybody. Because even if it's the one thing that we should all do, there's no one thing that everybody's going to do. And I mean everybody. The majority, yeah, maybe even more than 90%, but not everybody. And I kept hearing the only way this is going to work is if everybody who's still out there, still with a pulse, still breathing, still with a heartbeat, is getting behind the cause. Are you? See, I basically did a lot of running around in Seattle because I was trying to stay warm. See, I know a trick or two. See, I know a little bit of yoga and Pilates and whatnot, and I was actually teaching some of the good people that, you know, an idea like yoga for the homeless. Hey, come on, it would make a lot of people a lot more zen. That could work. What have you. But honestly, sure enough, okay basically said, okay, it's time for us to be moving on now. Okay said it was time to be moving on. And believe me, this time I didn't fight him. Did one more day, though. I thought the hypothermia would have gotten me. I don't know how they got used to that weather. I really don't. And we're in the car. It was nice when we basically slept a little bit in the car. This time we didn't get in the tent because once again, Seattle, once again, snow. But I got to tell you something. I saw plenty of tents pitched out there. I'm sure there was a body count. There was no matter where you go. But Seattle in January? I'm sure a lot of people succeeded from that place. I'm sure a lot of people did ease on down the road a bit, as they should have. But I tell you, picture that again. Seattle in January when you're homeless. Okay, it's 15 minutes after the hour. You're listening to Cocoonin from the Microphone with the one and only DJ Butterfly Feces, not just an expert radio personality, not just the voice of a true mission, but honestly, the prophet for this whole organization. Now, listen, people, get involved with the cause, okay? Call in. Call in right now, okay? You know, what do you think? Let me know. We're at 515-600- Okay, I'm sorry. Boy, I messed that up. That's one for the blooper reel. Okay, let's try it again. Now, call in, okay? Call in basically to get, call in, be a guest on our show, give your opinion. We're at 515-605-9709. That's 515-605-9709. Okay, once again, I got to plug my plier hair, Harrison. Okay, she has a little album called Keep It Sexy Simple, The Kiss Principle, okay? Please do not mistake this for what people normally think when they think Kiss. It's called Keep It Sexy Simple, and honestly, it's an album. I heard that one. You understand why she deserves success, doesn't he? Keep It Sexy Simple. Anywho, back to my original point. Now we're getting on to tonight's show, because really... you know something? I got to make those previously on Cocoon from the Microphone segments a lot shorter, don't I? I got to cliff note that. Anywho, okay, let's see. We drove on over to Arizona? There we were in Arizona. I saw the sign, you were now entering Arizona. And okay, said, here we are. No, I didn't know what city we were going to stop in, but at one point, Arizona? Okay, you need to understand something. Now, I'm not really from Arizona or really near the area, so I don't know. You know, when someone who's not really from Arizona hears Arizona, you know what he thinks? A big open space of, like, nothing. Oh, beautiful, majestic backdrop landscapes of, you know, red clay, and a lot of wide open spaces they talk about. But nothing and nothing for miles. I asked, do people actually live out here? Okay, now hold on. Now, I know I sound bigoted. But everybody kind of is before they try something new. Even little kids have that prejudice. Whenever mommy and daddy introduce them to a food they ain't had before. Or something that ain't junk food. You know? Unless it's a brand new video game with more bits and RAM and more detail and more graphic violence. Or... you know, it was beautiful. There we were in Arizona, Augenboro. It took me a while to learn the name Augenboro. Look that up. We got out of the place, and I talked to a little bit. I said, what do you want me to do here? Put his hand on my shoulder. Well, Feces, what I want you to do here, young man, is inspire everybody like you've been doing. You know what? Do a lot more of what this place had to offer. Now, the truth is, I've been doing that. No. I've been doing that. Let me tell you something. When we were basically in Miami, well, mostly I hit all them beaches. And I basically hit those homeless shelters. When I was in Seattle, I basically checked out a lot of the tour, even though I was broke. It's a little harder to basically, the tour. You can't afford a tour bus. You can't afford anything with a cover charge. But you can stand outside and looky-loo. In Augenboro, Arizona, well, this place was kind of different. It was kind of sort of different in a beautiful, actual way. And I started to smile to myself, why was I liking this more than I expected to? And then, okay, brace yourself, because here's why. It hit me. It reminded me of McKinleyville. Now, a lot of people, now, once again, before the internet had everything up there ever, before the internet had everything, and I mean it, you had to basically go to McKinleyville to know the majesty of it. And only those that lived there, the dang tourists who wanted to go to the town with everything, did. Anywho, Augenboro. First thing I did was look around at all that beautiful, wide-open space and whatever. And And I said, where are the homeless people? Once again, they were all around. But I sat them down and, you know, once again, I told them my story. And I was expecting for the usual kind of skeptical looks and distrusting, like this guy is trying to sell me something even though I'm broke expression that I literally got everywhere else. But you know what I eventually got? No, actually, this time right away they said, that's wonderful. Yeah, I think you're going to do that. You come on, you're playing. No, you're going to do it. This has been, look around, this has been happening. The world has been kind of crumbling. More people are becoming homeless and whatever. There's a big, horrible, broken down epidemic. I think you're going to be the guy that saves everybody. I've been wanting somebody to do this for a while now. I said I couldn't take all the credit. I told them my moniker. And at first, once again, I told them the whole story about how I got such a moniker. One of them looked at me. You got to tell them that story every single time they tell them who you are. Yeah. You tell somebody that basically your name is DJ Butterfly Feces. What's the DJ part? I explained to them I used to have a radio personality. Oh, you were a DJ? No. I was an editorialist, you know. One of them soapbox guys that rants and raves and talks about what's wrong with the world, how it'd be better if we just... And I think this is a place where people need to hear it more than anything. Yeah, that's true. I'll tell you what, man. Tell me your story. So I sat down and listened to this guy talk for a while. This man went by the name of... I don't remember. It's been so long. Look, let's just call him Joe, okay? He looked like a Joe to me. Yeah, Joe. He sat down, and he told me basically a very familiar story that you might have heard. He basically got a master's degree in what he did. He was literally a man who honestly was not exactly at the top of his field, but he was doing quite well. I said, so what happened? Nowadays, when they start putting everything online on the internet, nobody pays for anything anymore. No one wants to pay. Now, I understand, but when money doesn't exchange hands, people go broke. They lose everything. They wind up here. That's why there's all this copyright stuff. That's why, you know, every single day, that's why this happened. That's why that was there. Now, people can get almost anything they want, almost free of charge. Now everybody's basically destitute. I think we need to start putting copyright stuff in there. What, you know, money needs to exchange hands. What's key? Remember, I nodded. He said, you know, my wife divorced me. Because you lost your job? No. That happened before that. At my own place, you know what I mean? Look, me and my wife couldn't make it work. Sometimes you get married for the wrong reason, don't we? Look, be honest. Life is too short to spend it with the same person, no matter who it is. Even if she's your soulmate, if she's your everything, you know? Sometimes a lifetime is too long to spend with anybody. And sometimes... The other one said this. Sometimes... You get married for the wrong reasons. We all need a life partner. And sometimes it almost doesn't matter who it is. That's why some people marry their best friend. Some people just get married and have kids, period, just to have a circle again and all that noise. What happened to you? She said, I was in medicine, actually. Medicine? Yeah. Okay, it's like this, she told me. I was a doctor. Those times when people really respected, being a doctor was the holiest profession there was. I mean, really, I know it was before your time, but actually it was true for a long time. What, the internet and all that? Everybody started trying to be a doctor. You know, I was going to go to medical school, and I almost didn't. I got my degree, but I didn't make it. You know how much money it takes to take a single semester of medical school? Not college, medical school. Sometimes when you strike out, not even just strike, when someone throws a shot and you miss. It's strike one. There's no strike two or strike three. There's no nothing. You tried and that's it. Like, it's over. I know it's supposed to be a comedy show, people, but this is the dramatic part, so bear with me. A lot of sad stories out there on that street. She said, I wish I basically had taken my money and just found something safer to do. But what? What? I don't know, maybe a lawyer. I looked at him. No, law school's expensive, too. I mean, if I understand correctly, I mean, no, bear in mind, it's the same thing. And the law changes even more so. Like in healthcare, I know, like, medical, like, whatever. I mean, they don't change how to take a pulse or a heartbeat or test somebody's reflexes. They come up with new stuff sometimes. Well, yeah, fine. But the law has always changed. In fact, that would be even more. She just laughed. Oh, man, I was going to be alone. What's your story? I told him my story, and I told him the whole point of how I got the moniker, so I'll spare all of you the agony of having to hear that one again. You're welcome. I asked him, tell me about Arizona. One looked at me and said, it's great here. It's wonderful. I almost wouldn't live anywhere else. Hopefully he's going to pick up, and they're going to pick up here. You're not from Arizona? No. I told him all about how wonderful McKinleyville was, and I said, I was starting to feel really at home here so much, more than any other places we've visited. I mean, we visited some other places, and I got to tell you something. Something about this place. I think I know what it is. Reminds me of McKinleyville. Except you guys don't get snow down here in Arizona, do you? No snow. Yeah, that's good, because you know something? When you don't have a place to live, snow really hurts. They nodded. Come with us. I asked basically some of them maybe to join me and Mr. Organic OK, our little expedition. But you know what happened? They said maybe. Come with us. They took me by the hand and they took me on a big trail. You know what? We were going to basically check out all of Arizona. And don't get me wrong. Of course, I was going to basically do my task. You know, I came in here for a reason. Work, not play. But you got to vacation a little bit, and you know what I'm talking about. Let me explain. I want to see all of Augenboro, Arizona. Now, no matter what, I was going to make a personal little, what's the word I'm looking for? Damn, what's the word? I'm going to make a personal little point, a habit, to visit and indulge myself at every place we go to. Every place. Before, as well as going around there and personally going, well, I guess not door to door. What's the word? I guess to every vagrant. Okay, door to door, for lack of a better phrase. I can't think of one off the cuff of my head right now. To basically convert them to this whole program. They asked me to go on a hike with them. We hiked. Almost people hiking. See? Wasn't only rich people can hike. That joke, I told other people, they had hiking shoes. This is Arizona. You got to hike. They go to Arizona to hike, don't you? You got to hike in Arizona. Can't go to Arizona if you don't hike, no matter who you are. I remember thinking, not all of us hike. A few guys stay behind because they're like, dude, the workout, an exercise, an endurance thing like hiking, that's the kind of thing you need food for. We don't work out too much because working out builds up an appetite, if you know what I mean. I heard that. Man, I heard that. Anyway, we went on a big, long hike and a long walk all around Augenboro. Augenboro. I think that's how it's pronounced. Dang. Augenboro in Arizona. That place was beautiful. It's 30 minutes after the hour here on the program. Cocooning from the microphone, you're listening to DJ Butterfly Feces telling you about his long journey and trip all around Ogdenboro, Arizona. Actually, no, around the world in general, because, and this is a fact, I think everybody needs to take this trip. Okay, look, I got to say this again. Every single one of you, find a way just to be homeless, just for a little while, just to see what it's like. Take a bit of a world journey, a trip without a penny in your pocket. Believe me, you need to change individual. But basically, ask your doctor first if you can find one with all the HMOs. And make sure you're in good health. Do all that. Oh, and as far as Maya Harrison is concerned, she's got a personal album right now called Sugar and Spice. I know that's a personal common kind of use an expression, isn't it? Sugar and Spice. Sugar and Spice. Dude, I don't know. Whenever somebody told me sugar, spice, everything nice, that's what girls are made of. And anybody who said that had never been around a girl before. Either that or was a girl in on the cover-up. Crazy thing. Now, back to my point. We hiked all over Arizona. Let me tell you something. Once again, there was majesty and beauty to all of it. And you know, I got to tell you, so wish I was out there. There was something beautiful about you know what, just when I was feeling nostalgic, just to feel a bit, oh, what's the word I'm looking for here? Like a true traveler. Now, we didn't have the kind of money that basically, you know, we didn't have money, period. Couldn't go to souvenir stands, so I took my own souvenirs. I still have the rock when we climbed to the top of that dang thing. I have a stick, too. I forget what that's for. Once again, man, beautiful, majestic. Arizona. Anywho, I remember basically going around and asking, listen, there's a lot of raw, open land out here. Sure, they could build a few more homes for the homeless. Surely. Where we go around basically going about doing that, like where we go around, you know, pushing that, kind of pump that real hard. One thing that always astonished me was that even while there were so many people basically on the street, we stopped, when we were walking by, we happened to stop all these people at these local al fresco type of restaurants where they ate outdoors, ate weird, colorful food, yuppie food. And you know what? They weren't on the street, and somehow they had the money to do this. I didn't want to think they were just teasing us. They were eating in front of us to tease and resent us, but stranger things have happened. And somehow these guys had the money. I wish to, whatever you believe in, how do I convince them? How do I convert them? How do I turn them on? How do I get them to help us in some way? I don't want to wrap them in the middle of their meal, but after they seem to be done eating, I stopped for a moment, said hello. I didn't tell them my name was DJ Butterfly Feces because somehow I was afraid with a name like that I'd lose all credibility somehow. I didn't even tell them basically the whole message behind the name and whatnot and the philosophy, but I did tell them that me and my buddies were on an expedition, a journey, no, a mission to help literally save the world and connect everybody. Too many people, too many vagrants, too many vagabonds, too much of that going on. No, we all need to be connected. I also told them my little plan, everyone should be homeless just for a little while, just to see what it's like. Some of them laughed, although I think it was basically a defense mechanism, but one said, no, don't get me wrong, I've been curious, but I'm afraid to try that, man. Did I mention this before? Yeah, that's a real fear, dude, you know. You're always afraid, basically. It's so easy to get on the street. It's so hard to get off of it. And here's the thing. Me, I was just suckling at OK's teat. He dubbed me. He prophesized me. Made me part of the cause, brother. And I mean that. He made me part of it. But I'm in these cars. I'm in this traveling convoy of cars going from place to place to place. On his map. Now, come on, if these people wound up on the street, could they really afford to basically, you know, go to and from this expedition, somebody else putting the bill? Maybe they didn't know what I was talking about. Still, everyone should experience this. I watched a lot of sunsets and sunrises. Yeah, I know, I was tempted to sleep in personally. But you know what? We were always basically cooking our food outdoors, having one of those outdoor grill kind of things, whatever. But in Arizona, there's a lot of that going around. I told you, we lived a lot of the cowboy life over there in McKinleyville, but here they seem to, I don't know, they just had more of it, you know? I don't know. There were crickets chirping outside. Birds, it was so peaceful in a big way. You know, you suddenly understand basically exactly why so many basically people just understand why there's a sense of peace and strength in the whole cowboy living, the whole rugged, great outdoors, wide open space kind of lifestyle. You get it. And it was beautiful. Once again, I wanted to stay. But I knew, okay, maybe we just stay here a little longer. Just a little. Miami had beautiful beaches, but overflowing toilets. Seattle, well, maybe when the place thaws out a little bit. You know? But dang, Arizona, I want to see the whole dang state. Remember seeing all these places that aren't so congested, where there's a lot of space. And now, I've always noticed that the bigger the town, state area, and the smaller the population, the nicer people are. People are more happy and serene here. I talked to Joe. I said, "Tell me something. If you could go back, what would you do differently? You wound up on the street and all that." He looked me in the eyes and he said to me, "I don't know if anything would have changed. I don't want one of those guys just cynical and just shuts down and says, I'm done for. I don't know. But I'm trying to think about what I would have done that would have kept me off the street." Fought to keep copywriting up, I guess. Found a job that nobody else would want. They'd never fire me from. He kept a stiff upper lip, but you got to understand something. And this is a fact. A lot of people I met on the street took some pride that now they were free. They were truly free. But so many of them were so heartbroken that they wound up out here. And they felt rejected by life, by the world. This isn't the way it's supposed to be. You know what I'm talking about. You basically, for the longest time around here, people worked and they were sort of taken care of. I mean, they did right. They did right by their families. They went to a job that basically had some dignity to it, and they gave 115%, maybe more. And somehow, it wasn't just technology that made them obsolete. This dang system was broken. And there was no loyalty, no appreciation, nothing. She ain't right. Now, Joe, once again, that's what we'll call him, he got a little misty-eyed. He said, "You know, maybe I was going to wind up thrown out here on the street no matter what I did. But if I could go back in time and do it differently, you know what I'd do? I would have enjoyed the time I spent indoors. I'd do a lot of things differently. I would have gone off on a spree, you know? I would have enjoyed everything before they just chucked me out. You know what? I don't think I enjoyed enough of my life either. I don't know why I didn't enjoy it. Something was just broken. Something was wrong with me. But you know what? It's kind of too late. Now I was out here. I'm trying to remember you're on a mission. You know what? I'm on a mission. A true mission. So it doesn't matter if I die out here, which I very well may. I mean, obviously I didn't. That's why we're having this conversation. But honestly, really, what's the word I'm looking for? Dang, I'm at a loss for words again. Oh, I got it. A lot of people out there don't live with much purpose. They don't have meaning in their life. Nothing. There's no meaning. You know what they do? They're clinging to slavery. They're basically trying to basically stay working and working as long as they're poor. They're finally cut dead, praying something is going to keep them from getting chucked down the street. And there's no loyalty. Things are bad. And me personally, I don't know what I was going to do. No. What I was going to do, I was going to keep going around everywhere, every place I could, and keep pushing the message. Connect everybody. Then I was starting to feel a little bit misty and uneven. You know what I did? I couldn't help but ask. Will you come with me? Joe, look to me. What do you mean come with you? I'm with you right now. I'll come with you where you want to go. We've been all over. My feet are killing me. I said, no. On our trip, I told him about okay. I told him about the fact that he brought me here in his RV and their line of cars and all that noise. I told him that. Told him. And I said, come with me. Join me. Come with me. Come with us. Joe looked in my eyes and he said, no. He said, no, don't get me wrong. I think guys are doing wonderful. You're doing the Lord's work. This is something that's going to save the world, but I don't think that I should, you know, be here with you. Listen, this is my home. I ain't going nowhere. I know things will ever pick up, but I'm going to leave a corpse here. Something, whatever. He felt that way, but some of the others did agree. Julia and Kim, two little girls who were on that street who basically said, where will we go? Well, I don't know. We're going to go, okay, he's the one, he's the driver, he's the one doing all the navigating. I mean, this is his voyage, his expedition, like deep sea marine divers, and he's the one who's basically, he's the captain, his hand is at the helm. It's all up to him. Going where he wants to go. I'll do what he wants to do. It's his thing. Come with me. Come with us. Join us. Julie and Kim looked in my eyes and said, yeah, all right. Yeah, cool. Let's go. See. That's why, basically, I know their names. I know who they are. They agreed. Then I asked Mr. O.K. I told Mr. O.K. about the journey. He said, I wish you'd ask me before you invite people to get in our car or whatever. 45 minutes after the hour, 9:45 here on the cocooning from the microphone program. You're talking to DJ Butterfly Feces here. Well, you should be talking to him. Listen, call in. Call on our guest line, please. Debate a little bit. I'm at 515-605-9709. That's 515-605-9709. Oh, and remember, you got to dial a 1 first. They got this ridiculous rule right now for some reason. You got to put the 1 in first. I don't know why. That 1 is always implied, but whatever. I guess if it takes more time, even though it's redundancy, whatever. Maya Person. Let's see. Check out her album Exclusive, 2000 to 2010, Decades Best. Check out that one. 2010 to 2010, Exclusive. 2010, Decades Best. I asked Julie and Kim, aren't you going to give them monikers? What? Aren't you going to give them a handle, you know, a cool little name like you gave me? Okay, give me a look, and he smacked me again. Well, I can't be giving out names all willy-nilly. Not everybody's worthy of a name. I want you guys to get behind the ladies, get behind the cause and whatever. But you're the prophet, not them. Before we basically left tomorrow, the next day, and once again, we weren't there for only one day. We went there for a while. See, I had to personally, how do I put this? I basically made a point to go around to as many people as possible and tell them all about what OK was talking about. I told the ghost here especially, see, here it is. There is a mission in life, okay? A mission, personally. All of us need to get involved with a cause and really basically help the homeless community, you know? All people in general need to be connected. Picking up trash, throwing it away. So anyway, all people need to be connected somehow in some way and make it so we're working in ways that we are all sheltered. We all have some sort of roof and four walls around us. An answer. Salvation. It's a necessity in more ways than one. I mean that. I went up to them. They all said, how? I told them my plan, a lot of them there, expand these homeless shelters. Okay? Get together and demand that they do it. Find a way to get yourselves off the streets. See, a lot of the world agree to basically do some, pick up a bit of the trash here and there, there, over there, up and down, left and right, whatever. Make things just a little bit cleaner. A little cleaner. Make it clear that you were the ones who did it and doing it for the greater cause. Make sure that you guys are being taken care of somehow. Care. And take care of each other. Because I know a lot of homeless people tend to have a lot of, they're shanty towns, and you guys basically tend to have a cluster or two, an environment, but you all need to be connected if all this is going to work. A lot of wide open space. You said, all of you guys need to be connected, all of you. And once again, I basically had to shoehorn. I was like a dog trainer, basically, trying to get everybody together, standing up one by one, getting involvement. I shook Joe's hand, and Joe looked in my eyes, and he said, I know you're going to do wonderful things, brother. You know why? Because you don't have a choice. Make me proud. Make all of us proud. It was one last night I spent, and I didn't get no sleep. Because once again, just like in Miami, I found home amongst the homeless. I was home here. And just when it seemed like everything, there were some roots, everything was starting to, how do I put this? Everything was just starting to feel right, then it's time to pack it in again. And then I realized I wasn't there to find home. I was there to make home for everybody else. No, I figured it out. Okay, it didn't have to hit me again, explain it to me. I did it. I figured it out. Yeah. Wasn't that the point? Anywho, I basically took one last look at everything. This time I didn't go with the tour group. I went on my own. I went walking around, listening to the birds chirping, the crickets, whatever, watching that sun go up and down, watching the stars come out at night. How beautiful Arizona is, so beautiful, personally. When it's night, when the sun is just going up or just going down. The rest of the day is very lovely, but during those magic times, That's when it seems like, well, someone wanted to make the great state of Arizona a little more special. What was I to do? Once again, I went to basically all those shelters and I told the good people. I sat down and listened to some of their stories and whatever. Many of them were basically kicking themselves right now, like, why didn't I prepare myself for this? He said, it would have helped if I had. My family was always poor, even if I had the money to basically go to one of them real special, expensive colleges where they teach you how to basically conquer the world. We never had the money. Well, they just had to do that online now. I ain't got no computer, boy. We all laughed. What to do? Well, like I told you, I also taught them a little bit of yoga. Taught them how to stretch a little bit. Work off some of that pressure. You do that first thing in the morning before the day. You know what? Things will be better. Them, I told my story. DJ Butterfly Feces. And I listened to theirs. I listened to basically how hard things have gotten, whatever. Invited them, some of them, to come with us. There was this one really dark-skinned African-American guy missing some teeth who basically came along. And I was happy to have him. The more the better, at least I thought so, but in a way I remembered we only had so much space. We could only afford to help so many people. Oh, okay, well, he claimed he had the money. Money wasn't a problem. But taking too many people on the ship, taking too many people aboard the ship, so to speak, and it sinks. Besides, was this guy going to get with it? I looked, okay. Let me be the one to guide him. Seriously. Let me do it. All right, man, it's your responsibility now. I'll be paying for it. It's going to be your responsibility. I'll watch him. And I did. This is going to be getting something beautiful, man. He gave me a weird look when I said that. We're going to do something. We're going to save all this world. I told you about the mission, the message, the whatever. Shouldn't say whatever. Going out there, basically find something that's going to help these homeless people, these vagabonds, these whatever. Yeah. What's your name? Maurice. Hello, Maurice. Hey. I should give you a moniker. I don't need no special name. I need no moniker. I'm just coming along with you guys on this trip. You know, that's cool. That's really cool. Finally, we packed it in and we left the beautiful, beautiful state of Arizona. I took so many things there, people from it, little knickknacks like rocks, and I think there's a little bit of petrified wood in this stick and branch or whatever that I wish I could have left something behind. Yeah, I did. My heart. I'm sorry. Just trying to go for a little poignancy there. But the point is, it had been probably the best place we had seen so far. Now I got to tell you this. We basically took aboard at least one person from each place we'd been to so far. But I got to tell you something. I always want to make believe. I always want to tell myself that literally I had made a positive difference to every last place we visited. I had. I told them about the cause. Went to every single basically people who lived in the shelters, and I sat down and told them what I was all about. And convince them to, well, you know, connect bond, unite together, be part of it all. And dang it all, I got to basically, I taught some homeless people some yoga. But they were right, that crap makes you hungry. You know, somehow I really respected OK basically for this whole mission and whatever he was doing. But I need, someone need to ask the $10 million question here, which is more than $10 million. How's it going to eliminate poverty in general? We're all linked. We all need to be linked, they said. Linked. Homeless people getting around there, doing a little bit of charity work, all pulling their resources. Is that going to be enough? He said, yeah. We just got to get everybody to get behind it. Everybody who needs it. I said, what were you thinking about, like helping the homeless? How? Well, let me explain it to you. Explain it to you, brother. Get them a little bit of resources. Don't have some kind of warm jackets, pants, comfortable inflated shoes, blankets, pillows, tents. Making sure somehow they have some degree of shelter somehow. In the end, making sure they're all connected. We can all survive if we're all trying to. But don't get me wrong. There's meant to be a few that are going to be weeded out. Because in the end, whenever there's too much of anything, well, some of that's going to fall by the wayside. Those guys are at peace. Everything will be all right. It's a little basically depressing, but you know what? You know, a lot of times I basically kick myself, tell myself if only I knew then what I know now. Why not know this then? You ever try to wish you could do more than just turn back the clock? You can go back and tell yourself. Sometimes even your parents didn't know what's best, but you do now. I wish I had drank more water as a child. Thanks for letting me know that, honey. Thanks for chiming in. Okay, we're coming to the end of our close. You've been listening to Cocooning from the Microphone with DJ Butterfly Feces. The one, the only. May there never be another one. Okay, seriously, next week somebody call in. Check out our next episode and find out where we went next, okay? Around this same time. We're at 515-605-9709. 515-605-9709. And, okay, look, check out a lot of the magic that Maya Harrison has given us. You can hear all her hits, all her majesty. You can hit all her pure sparkling dust on YouTube. And once again, it's free. Thank you, please, for tuning in to Cocooning from the Microphone. Now, even if you're not listening live right now to our catalog show, tune into that and hear how I continued to help the homeless. No, save them. And thus the world. And how I'm still trying to do it, but I need your help. Thank you for tuning in. Well, if you're listening to this, thank you, which you must be, if you can hear me, thank you for listening at some point. Thank you. Tune in to our next episode. And good night.